Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Morrison. Wrap me in your arms. What a wonderful selection and what a wonderful way to continue on with our service for today. Today we're coming from Proverbs, the 24th Proverbs. Proverbs 24. 24 Proverbs. And in this Proverbs, as you know, that Proverbs was written by the wisest man in the Bible, Solomon, and he has several wise sayings in this section, in this 24th chapter, in the whole book of Proverbs that sometimes we don't pay attention to. But today I want to focus on us on four verses today. Proverbs 24, starting at the 30th verse. 30th verse of Proverbs 24. It reads, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instructions. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. May the Lord bless his word. Today I want to spend a few minutes talking about lessons of laziness. Lessons on laziness. As we look at this chapter, this wise chapter, the author Solomon instructs us on how to relate to the wicked, to the foolish, and how to conduct ourselves with our neighbors. And it warns in this section against sluggardness or sloth, as the King James might say, or other translations might say. And what this is an observation of a person who has not taken care of business and has become lazy. You know what, during this time of separation, stay at home, restricted movements, we are knocked out of our normal routine, and it is so easy to become lazy. It is so easy to neglect the things we used to do. How many of us do not get dressed when we get up in the morning? How many of us have slipped out of our routine? We put on a cheerful face when we get on our Zoom meetings, and we're dressed from the top only, looking good, only waiting to get back into our comfort clothes once everything is over. This section really talks about laziness and warns us against laziness. And through the observation of Solomon, his lesson is that a wise person can learn from his or her mistakes and mistakes of others. So as we look at others, and as Solomon is looking at others and learning this lesson on laziness, he's taken the opportunity to check himself. You know, there are things we observe in life that we think ought not to be. But every now and then we need to check ourselves to make sure we're not doing the same thing. So what can we learn today from this proverb about a field that was owned by a lazy person? I'm glad you want to know. First of all, as we look at this, Solomon is observing his nature. It says in verse 30, I went by the field of the lazy man, or the sluggard, or the sloth, that some translations might say, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. He said, I went to the field of a lazy man. Now, how did he know this man was lazy? Because of the condition of his field. Now, I know there's some of us out here who who have some farming in our background, whether it's us ourselves or our relatives. We do know that farmers have to be on the job all the time to make sure that the crop they desire comes in. They cannot afford to be lazy. So that is what Solomon is talking about. I went to someone who owns some land. I went to someone who claims to be a farmer, is a farmer, but they are lazy. They are lazy. And he says, I went by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. He's not saying that the man is ignorant. He just said he is devoid of understanding, does not understand how his ways affect his livelihood. So we look at this and we look at the lazy man, and there are 16 or 17 times in Psalms that word sluggard or sloth is referred to. But what it really talks about is a lazy man. This is the person who is devoid of understanding. They lack sense. They are sort of lacking in that area. They are lazy, not due to the physical lack of physical capabilities, but they are lazy because of mental capabilities. They have no drive to get things done that they know they need to get done in time. There's a word that's also used in this chapter in talking about this conversation, a word called indolence. Indolence, which is an adjective, which means someone who wants to avoid activities or exertion. You know, we have some people that we just know they are lazy. They can do the work, but they never live up to their capabilities. They have slipped into a form of laziness, a form where it is acceptable to not reach the greatest heights of their achievement. So my brothers and sisters, as we are in this pandemic time period, let us not be lazy. Let us keep on doing what we normally do, except we just do it a different way. You know, I come to you on Sunday and I share the gospel, and it's different for me. It's not like when I was in the pulpit in the church and I can see your faces and I can rejoice with you and sing with you and praise and pray with you. And you know, when the pandemic happened and we couldn't do that, we couldn't come together, I had to check myself about, you can't be lazy just because you're not in the church, just because you don't see their faces, just because you can't pray with them, can't hug them, just because you're not doing all that. You still have got to put in the work. You still have got to put in the work. So therefore, every week I check myself to make sure that I am not getting lazy in preparing the Word of God for you and working with the service to bring you a service that allows you to praise at home. So, you know, I just thank God that I am not lazy, and those who are participating are not lazy in putting in the work to make sure that we can effectively deliver the Word of God to each and every one of you. So it says, and again, in that 30th verse, I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. Then in the 31st verse, he says, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Now, how could he tell that this person was lazy? Because of the condition of the person's work. There is evidence of laziness. Now, again, I'm not talking about someone who physically could not do the work, but this was somebody who mentally chose not to do the work. And as we look at this, we see several things that point to the effort of laziness upon this person. First of all, the field was all overgrown with thorns. It had allowed weeds and thorns to come in. It should have been carefully cultivated and cleared out. It should have been perfect rows, and it should have been presented in a way that would allow whatever was being grown to shine forth as best it could, but yet because of the laziness, because of the laziness. It was covered with thorns. Weeds and thorns were allowed to grow in it. Nettles had covered it. Wild nettles had grown in it. And the stone wall was broken down. Think about it. You know, in our yards, we go out there sometimes and we see one weed. And we look at it. And we come back a few days later. And that weed has spread. And we come back later and we see the weed has taken over. If we don't take care of it in a timely manner, it will take over. And we'll slip into a condition where it's overwhelming to us. I just can't handle it. It's too much to do. That's because we didn't do what we should have done when we could have done it. Amen? Because we didn't do what we could have done when we should have done it. So he's observing this person, and he's observing this person that it should have a bountiful fruit. It's nothing wrong with the plot of land. It's just the effort that has been put into cultivating the plot of land, which has destroyed or restricted the crop that is grown. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. It should have been a beautiful field, but it was not, because of the person who owned the field. The question is, my brothers and sisters, how is your field today? We might not be farmers, but whatever your job is, how is it today? Whatever your ministry is, how is it today? Have you allowed the pandemic to be an excuse for being lazy in our prayer life, being lazy in our worship life, being lazy in our connection life, where we talk to one another and share and pray with one another? Have we allowed that to happen? One of the greatest challenges that the workplace has today is how to keep the efficiency level up of their workers while working from home. You know, when you're in the workplace, you have that regimen where you do work. But when you're working from home, you have divided loyalties. And sometimes it's easy to get distracted and be less efficient. The charge today is, let's check ourselves. Let us not be lazy, but let us keep on doing the work that we know we need to do. Now, Solomon is not watching us right now, but guess what? God is. And he knows the level of service that we can give. And he knows what we are capable of. And he knows we should be doing it. Evidence of laziness. And this never hit home to me more than years ago when my father's health was declining, that he used to take care of another house that was owned by his sister. And in his declining health, he could not cut the grass. He could not clear the yard. He could not do certain things for years. And then when I attempted to help and take over, I realized it was an overwhelming job. I realized that my meager tools were inadequate to take care of what had been allowed to grow up. You see, if you don't take care of things when they need to be taken care of, they can overwhelm you. They can grow up. And you can get lost in it. And you don't even know sometimes where to start. So I had to be have a method to it. I had to take off small chunks at a time. And eventually I was able to restore it to the condition that it should have been. Now, I'm not talking about a lazy situation, but there are a lot of lazy situations out there that have the same outcome, where neglect has been so long that someone has a hard time trying to correct it and make the field productive once again. But what is the wisdom that is learned from this lazy person? And I love Solomon in Proverbs because he uses these as teachable moments. And even though most of us do not live in an agricultural society right now, there are still lessons to be learned from this. Number one, look at verse 32. He says, when I saw it, I considered it well, and I looked on it and received instructions. When I saw it, when I considered it, when I thought to myself, why does this field look this way when the neighbor's field looks totally different? Now, there's something interesting about fields and farming. You know, in farming, you can have your own plans, but those plans can be altered by the weather. Those plans can be altered by other conditions that we have no control over. So as farmers are concerned, you have to take advantage of the opportunities when it presents itself. You can't lay and say, I'll do this tomorrow. No, you have to get out there in the field. Just like the farmer who has cattle, who has pigs, who has livestock, they cannot say, I'll be lazy today and not feed the chickens and not feed the pigs and not feed the animals. You cannot say that. You've got to do that, because if you don't, you might not have any livestock in your pen. So as Solomon's looking at this, he's receiving instructions and it's acknowledgement that the wise, even though Solomon was wise, he still took lessons through his observations. And that's what I challenge us today to do, is take lessons from what we observe. Make observations. We should be questioning things. We ought to have a ready answer for the things we do. A wise person will learn while there is still time. He knows that the lazy person is an ordinary person. There's nothing wrong with this person physically. It's just is an ordinary person who has made too many excuses, who has refused too many times, who has postponed things too often. And he looks at his failure in verse 33. What is the failure of a lazy person? Look at it. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. What Solomon is saying is that this individual found more pleasure in just sitting around, in just resting, in just chilling, than in doing the work. And I think we all know that sometimes we have to slap ourselves in the face ourselves, because we will get too lazy. How many times have you sat down to watch a show on television, and the next thing you know, 3 hours has gone on and you've watched three shows, only intent on watching one because you sat down and you got comfortable. But this person who neglected his field, valued his rest, valued his sleep, and the folding of hands to rest. You know how we sit down and rest our hands? This person valued that more than had excuses like, well, I can't start now. It's too hot. I'll wait till the sun goes down. And then when the sun starts to go down, I can't start now because it's going to be dark soon. I can't start now because raindrops look like they might be falling soon. You know, we can make excuses when we don't want to do something. The challenge is to keep on moving in spite on what we think we ought to do. Amen? So that was his failure. And because of that, guess what? This man was poor. Look at verse 34. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. What he's saying is that suddenly you will find that you have nothing. You have done nothing. It will come like a robber, a prowler that comes in a flash unexpectedly. Your bank account will be lower than you expected it to be because you did not produce the work that you needed to do. The farmers, if they do not prepare their field right, if they do not plant their field right, if they do not cultivate their field right, if they do not reap their field ripe, when the harvest time comes, they will have nothing or very little to show for it. That's what this is talking about. You will need like an armed man. In other words, you will want like a robber. You will need things and you'll want them. And now you'll take a shortcut to try and get them and rob somebody else of it when you could have just earned it yourself. You could have just had it yourself. And therefore you look around and you have nothing. This is just a little lesson on laziness. But I have several verses and several thoughts about laziness that I want to share with you about the person who is lazy. First of all, the lazy person can be unreliable. Proverbs 18:9 says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Think about it. He who is slothful in his work, he who is lazy, will not only destroy their work ethic, but will destroy your work ethic. Secondly, they are full of excuses. In Proverbs 26:13 says, "The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets." Which this proverb is saying that the lazy man says, "I can't do the work because I have obstacles in front of me." You know, we will always have obstacles in front of us. They might not always be pandemic related, but we will have obstacles. But you know, through it all, we are resourceful people. We have always made a way out of no way. I could think of my ancestors who would look down on us now and say, "Child, please, if you only know what we had to go through back in our day." So we cannot have an excuse to be lazy. And the lazy man always has problems. Proverbs 15, verse 19. "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." Think about it. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. That means that the lazy person has obstructions in their way. Some of them they have self-created. It's sort of like going down that road. Have you ever gone down the road one day and it's like construction is going on everywhere, and just like every half mile, there's somebody holding a stop sign where it's one lane ahead. And you know what? And we don't learn our lesson, where we know there's an alternate route. We keep on going down that road every day, and we keep on getting frustrated because our travel time has been extended regardless of what the GPS might say, because there is construction ahead. We have to proceed cautiously when we know that there is another route that would take us there and get us there sooner and more uneventful. That's how a lazy person is, doing the same thing over and over again and complaining about it when they have another way to do things. A lazy man seems to be always broke. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." In other words, the lazy man will be forced to work because they've been lazy when they could have worked. The hands of the diligent will have their crop in on time. The hands of the diligent will have the resources they need. The hands of the diligent will make a way out of no way. The last point I want to lift up, the lazy person always seems to be hungry. Proverbs 19:15 says, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." Laziness will cause inactivity that leads to deep sleep, leads to hunger. I think all of us have had those days where we've wanted to get out of bed, but we turned the alarm off and just rolled over because we just knew we didn't want to face what today had ahead of us. Also in Proverbs 20, verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Think about it. This is a person who will not plow during the plowing season, and therefore his crop will not come up, and he will beg during the harvest, having nothing. He will be he will have to resort to begging just because he didn't take care of it when it was time. This description of the lazy man and his vineyard, it should teach us that indolence and procrastination will end in ruin. But my brothers and sisters, I would not leave you in this state just thinking that there is no solution for laziness, because there is a solution for laziness. And I want to take us to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting at the 6th verse. Solomon says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. What he's saying is look at the ants. They have no guide, overseer, a ruler, provide her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall poverty come as one that travels, and thy want as an armed man. What he's saying here, he's giving the lazy a solution to get out of laziness. He's saying, be like the ant in verse 6. You know, ants are resilient. We can spend a lot of time trying to remove the ant hills in our yard, but somehow they will pop up again somewhere else. But he's saying, study the ant. The ant has no guide. The ant has no overseer. The ant has no ruler. The ant does not need to be told what to do. The ant can carry 10 to 20 size its weight, times its weight. That's how much the ant can carry. Have you ever seen a stick moving on the ground and only to realize there's an ant underneath it? They can carry a heavy load. But also something else I've observed about ants. You see, yeah, that was me as that boy who would look at the ants. They work together to move large objects. When they see something that they can't do by themselves, they will link up with somebody else and move it together. If we're lazy, or if we feel laziness coming on, study the ant. Realize the ant needs no motivation to get started. The ant does the work. The ant does the work. Several times in the New Testament, Paul talks about his work ethic. He talks about how he labored day and night and worked, took a job building tents so he would not be a hardship to certain churches like the church in Thessalonica. He did that because his job was to share the gospel and not let obstacles stand in his way. So I share with you, brothers and sisters, whatever your job is, whatever your task is, are you letting obstacles stand in your way that causes laziness? Or are you addressing them head on? Are you looking for other solutions? Yes, Beacon Light, we could have folded back in March. Yes, we could have relied on talking on the telephone. Yes, we could have done other things. But I thank God that he did not give us that spirit of being lazy. But he allowed us to press on through technology, to still have meaningful and impactful services, to still gather together, to still have saints who call and check on one another, say, how are you doing? How may I help you? Therefore, whatever our job is, we cannot afford to be lazy right now. Solomon has observed the lazy, and he has observed the effects of the lazy. And let us not be like that. Let us not have laziness charged to our lifestyle. Let us not have laziness charged to our way of being. Let us not have laziness be a part of our conversation. Let us work. Let us work and let our produce show forth. You know, a tree can be determined by the quality of its fruit. Let's stand strong, my brothers and sisters. We will be doing this for a while to come. Let us not get lazy, but let us keep on keeping on. Let us keep on doing what we did before the pandemic happened. Although we do it differently, let us keep up the faith and let us not be lazy. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. So tell your neighbor about Proverbs 24, around 30th verse, and tell them to look at the lessons of the lazy.